You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Before we kick into this episode, just wanted to do a quick shout out to our boys at Keeping It Strong Style. I'm not sure if this episode will end up in time for anybody to hear this before the show, but the lads are having a New Japan fan meetup before Windy City Riot at the VU Rooftop Bar. That's 133E Cermak Road, Chicago, Illinois 60616 on April 12th, 2024 at 4 p.m. Get down, buy the lads a beer for us, and chat it up with the Keeping It Strong Style lads. Yep, that's all there is from me. Make sure you check it out, say g'day, and on with the show. Peace. Ichiban Sweetcast. Ichiban Sweetcast. That's it. Back again. What it is. What's up, Ichiban Sweetcast? I don't even know what number. I don't know if we've launched officially. It doesn't really matter. We're going to talk about Sakura Genesis. What up? Oh, I completely blew it and still had you muted so you wouldn't interfere with my intro, but that's totally fine. I am introing Curtis right now.
Although I do like the idea of having two introductions. Mm-hmm. You have just dogged the boys again.
I have.
You dog.
I've dogged Curtis multiple times today, but in return, just he has also dogged me. There's been some action. There's dogs popping off in the background. What are we going to do?
Frankie's getting in on it.
Exactly. We're out of control. But let's start the show. Do we restart the show? Do we just restart from scratch?
No.
Nah.
No. We're going live to tape. We don't have time for any second fucking takes.
Nah, exactly.
Let's do this. Let's go.
Time is at a premium. A premium. So we're going to check
it. I respect these people too much to
Which
do this
people?
To them.
What people?
The six or seven people that really love us.
Oh, I don't know if the six or seven that really love us, but there are a few people that listen, and we definitely appreciate them. It might be hate listening, or it might be love listening. We're never going to know. But what we will say is that we had a very good time with Sakura Genesis. I know I did. You did, right? I liked it better when I was
really,
in Japan.
I really
last
thought
year.
It was a very strong show.
Yeah, I think so too. And it was like a bit of a sort of statement show, and I had a real good time with it.
Yeah, it was like a look what we can do. We don't need Will Ospreay.
Don't need
him. I guess. That show would have been great if it had Will Ospreay in it. But it was really good. There was a ton of fun stuff happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, highlights for me. Do we want to go through the show like match by match, or do we want to kind of like just randomize and throw out thoughts?
It's a good question. I think we're just going to give an overall vibe, but maybe we just start at the bottom just so we and work our way up just to keep our thoughts in order. Because right now, between watching Sakura Genesis and everything that's happened in my life, I don't currently remember any of it right now, but I do know it happened and that I had a great time with it. But as we break, like you bring up matches, I will definitely remember what we're talking about.
Did you end up watching the Frontier Zone?
I did. It had that familiar guy. What's his name? Is it Yoshida?
Ayato Yoshida, yeah.
Yes, I remember him from the Young Lions stuff a few years ago.
Yeah, he was around just a couple of years ago when everybody was a Young Lion, back when Shooter was a Young Lion and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not really too familiar with this company that they work for.
Uh-huh. Me
neither. 2AW?
No, never heard of them.
I don't know, but I do love Frontier Zone. I think that's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
Take these, you know, small promotions, give them a big show to really like showcase their stars in front of. And it's like, yeah, maybe you got a dude who's going to fall to Bolton Oleg, but you know what? Bolton Oleg's about to be a IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. So
in mere moments,
maybe that's not so bad.
Yeah, no. I'm completely with you. And I like that New Japan has talked about wanting to, you know, raise all the ships in Japan, so to speak. And you know, do the United Japan stuff and promo everybody and make, you know, high tide raises all ships is the vibe. And they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. A rising tide raises all ships. Just announced this morning. Have you seen the matches that got announced this morning?
I literally just saw it as I was walking up here. Do you want to say them or can I? Because I saw that you had shared them. But we had two massive matches announced. We had Dragon Gate's Kai teaming with Sonata to face Zack Sabre Jr. and DDT's Chris Brooks, which is awesome. They just had a match recently.
Schadenteckers.
Yeah, exactly. Schadenteckers. A big Schadenfreude fan. Love DDT. Saw them recently when I was in Japan and really enjoyed it. Zack Sabre Jr. was just in DDT doing something with him, kissing Chris Brooks, doing all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So that was fun. And then even more crazy is our boy, the Ichiban Sweet Boy, Jose Fujita, versus our boy, Noah's Kenno, which is pretty huge spot to be in.
Huge fooge for versus the fucking Sweet Boy, dude. Mm-hmm. A huge Fuge versus Kano is going to be fucking it.
Yeah.
I am so amped for that, bro.
Yeah. It's crazy. God,
that's going to be cool.
It's really cool, man. I was like, these are some great matches.
Have you seen this shirt? Speaking of Kano, bro is a generational hater and I fucking love him. Have you seen the new shirt that he's started putting out?
Not at all. What is it?
It's got a picture of Kiyomiya. As a young boy,
yeah.
So he's like got his head shaved and shit like that, and it's just a.
This is awesome already.
Generational hate, dude. It is so great. He's like selling them at fucking Noah live shows. Like I think he prints them out himself and sells them.
Oh, it's not even a Kenno shirt. It's just like he's a loser shirt, basically.
yeah, exactly. God, I fucking love it.
That's so
Kenno is the most put upon motherfucker in the world. I fucking love him so much.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So yeah, I think that's really exciting, and I think that was a great segue by you. But these Frontier Zones and then the United Japan stuff, and it's just really exciting to see people drop in and out, you know?
It really is. Sorry, the dogs next door are going nuts. So you go ahead and vibe for a second.
Yeah, no worries. I think as well the other thing that is sort of really cool about that would be to see whether Yoshida maybe can sort of sideways back in, because I think when he was doing the Lionsgate stuff or whatever that was called, he was a Just Tap Out guy. He was like a Taka guy, right? Like a Taka Michinoku.
He was in the Michinoku dojo.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so that's why he was popping out, but like, you know, on those shows, but he wasn't technically a young lion. And he's filled out and is a grown ass man now. So, and he's from
had a fucking bone to pick with Tomohiro Ishii, didn't he?
Exactly. And so it's like, I wonder whether there may be, you know, it's a lower level indie, so maybe there's no real qualms with him jumping up a level. So we'll have to see. But I thought he looked really good in the match, and I thought the whole thing was a bit of fun.
I love it. Like I said, the Frontier Zone Wrestling stuff is awesome. It exposes new people who I've never seen before, companies I've never even heard of before. I fucking love that. Mm-hmm. I love it so much.
Absolutely.
So thumbs up to that. And then you get to see Ichiban Meat Boy fucking doing impressive shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, dude, Bolton, like every time I see him, I'm like, just give that guy belts now. Yeah. He's going to get them soon anyway.
Yeah.
Just give them to him.
It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what comes of him. And, you know, where it goes and everything like that. I like to hope we'll see a lot from him, you know, but you just never know until it happens.
No, that's true. I mean, like, I'm putting a lot on a dude who's still, like, you know, mid-20s. So, but I mean, like, that's what wrestling's about, you know, is you hitch your wagon to these guys as they grow.
Yeah.
You know, I know tons of people who are like, oh, I saw, you know, I was a fan of Randy Orton when he was 22 years old or whatever. I was a fan of Edge when he was this such thing. And that's a beautiful thing about the Young Lions system is you can go like, that's my motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know. How old is Oleg? Is it mid-20s, right? Isn't he in his 30s? I think he's like 36 or something. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
He looks like a grown-ass man, but let's find out. I am going to click on his profile and find out that he was born in 1993.
Oh, so okay.
He is 31.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty young for a wrestler. I mean, well, wrestlers kind of hit their stride about 35.
Yeah, like didn't AJ go to WWE at like 36? I think maybe a bit
something
older.
Like that. I mean, yeah. AJ's how old? Fucking
like he, oh, he's like now? 41 or something. Now.
No,
he's you wouldn't like know it though, because that dude is jacked currently. He's
timeless.
He's a juiced Styles. Like he's fucking yeah. He was looking jacked at WrestleMania.
Dude is like, I mean, he's definitely like, I'm going towards the end of my fucking career. I'm going to hit that sauce pretty fucking hard.
Oh, I mean, I think there's a couple of reasons for that because you'd have to think, one, it's like wear and tear on the body is getting pretty real and I need Absolutely. To still be able to operate. And so a little bit of extra armor doesn't hurt. And also it's like, also I need to stand out. There's a lot of up and coming, younger, good looking dudes in great shape. You know what I mean? It's a bit of, I imagine it would be a bit of that too. Like,
yeah, they're all kind of doing, you know, they all grew up watching
yeah.
AJ Styles and stuff like that.
So exactly.
They wanted.
Yeah. And he's gone like his whole career pretty el natural. And then I think he's like, all right, let's fucking kick it in overdrive for the last couple of years here. And then I'll fucking retire. <Yeah. laughs> That's it.
So. I think he's trying to get that. He's trying to get that, that final world championship run in because he's just like, okay, well, WWE is a body company.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get that. I'm going to grow my body real fucking good. And then they're going to go, ooh, give that man a fucking WHC title.
He's got a fucking new song. He's in all black. He's looking jacked to hell. He's losing, but he was still looking real good. So yeah.
Yeah.
Plus not many people do it like he does it. So.
No, there's not a lot of people that fucking can go like AJ Styles can go.
Even like I was like, he's still fucking one of the best guys on this roster. Like his transitions and stuff, the way he moves, the way he rolls through things into different holds and stuff. He's fucking unbelievable.
He is phenomenal. He is phenomenal.
I don't know why I said unbelievable.
Okay, let's get into Sakura Genesis.
Yeah, let's do it. So, okay. So Frontier Zone done. And then first match was the unlikely team of Taguchi and Desperado versus Kosei Fujita and Zack Sabre Jr. with a bit of fun here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, TMDK comes out looking like an absolute unit, like the two of them, effortlessly cool, just fucking awesome. That story, okay, so recently you had an interview with TMDK's Mikey Nichols where he talked about the effortless cool that is Kosei Fujita.
Yeah.
And, you know, how he's coming out with the earring and the leather jacket and he's got a motorcycle and all these. And I'm just looking at him. I'm like, that motherfucker, if I could have been that fucking cool when I was that young up to, I mean, neck high in whatever genitals he would enjoy being neck high in. God bless him. I love that kid.
Yeah. He's like got a lot to offer. And I think it's pretty cool that the company sees that too. Like even stuff like pairing him with Kenno, having him fight Okada on his way out, you know, things like that. He's not necessarily winning these matches, but they're constantly putting him in places to be seen. Like Matt, I was about to say the full name. I believe the WeWork Stiff Boys refer to him as Redacted, but the holder of the TV title right now is on MLW, and they had Fujita go over and be the guy to fight him. Again, he loses, but he's seen in the ring with that guy, you know, and so they're constantly putting him in positions to be seen. And you would, because he's cool as fuck.
He's just effortlessly fucking cool. And I think the fact that he is so young, like he's of this up and coming class, I believe he is the youngest.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you've got years with this guy before he inevitably goes to AEW. So it's going to be fucking great.
Oh, well, maybe not. We'll have to see. He's settling in nicely. So anyway, he picks up the win over to Gooch. And
how did you feel about Despy's new fucking mask and like ponytail combo?
I love the setup of it. I'm never really a big fan of the red on people because I'm a redheaded gentleman. I can't really wear the color red, so I don't tend to like it. And it's a bit like NWO Wolfpacky shade of red, which I never really super liked. But I love the layout of it. I like him in black and white, but you know, he's changing up and he's doing something different. I did enjoy his interaction with Zach at the end. I like that there's a bit of like a friendly nod and a handshake and respect between them. So I wonder if that's leading brothers somewhere or what, you know.
God, I would love it. I don't think Despy's really a fit for TMDK, but nah. It's nice to see that, you know, like they were brothers and it wasn't their fault that they are no longer brothers.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. It's just a shout back to that. And I think Despy's definitely walking a real lone wolf road at the moment, and I think he totally can. Also, on the note of that, did you see the thing, the Despy Invitational that's happening at Croke and Hall, supported by Rolling Cradle? What the fuck is that? What's happening?
Despy's booking a fucking show at Croke and Hall.
All right.
And I mean,
people are gonna die.
You know, people are gonna fucking die, dude. It's gonna be amazing.
Him first.
We're gonna see so much blood and like, I mean, like cans and glass and, you know, light tubes and barbed wire and God knows what else. It's going to be fucking fantastic. I don't know who's going to be on it. I mean, you can tell, you know, there's probably some people that are going to be shoo-ins, like you've got like Jun Kasai or something like that. And, you know, it's going to be fucking wild. Can we just let's warm up the Despy for Booker of the Year train?
Get
that going now.
He's taking over the Tai Chi Despy Mania raids and just doing it himself, basically.
Yeah.
Who, if you could book Despy in a dream match that he's booked himself for that show, what would you choose?
Oh, okay. Dream match for Despy. For Despy would want it to be some sort of death match, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I think the coolest match, there's two names I want to throw out, but right now I'm going to say Despy versus Cactus Jack.
Holy shit. He did say he wanted to do one last death match recently.
Yeah, he also said his doctors told him that he cannot do that, so...
That would be fucking cool though.
And but you said dream match. You didn't say match that could actually
happen. I did not say match that could actually happen. So that would be amazing. My personal pick would be Masashi Takeda. We've seen him, you know, working with Kasai, and it like Takeda's the other side of Kasai's coin. You know what I mean?
The crazy kid.
Crazy kid, yeah. He's legit like MMA experienced person who has won many MMA fights and stuff like that, but a crazy deathmatch wrestler. Him and Despy would be unbelievable. They'd be actually really, and he's cool. The coolest motherfucker as well. Like Jun Kasai is cool and scary and wild. Takeda's just actually cool as fuck. Like he's fucking unbelievable. So he would be a big pick for me. That would be so cool.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here first, folks. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Rafe is connected into the deathmatch scene, so he knows. He knows what's going on.
Oh, I mean, I'm definitely not saying that's what's happening. I know nothing about this show. But that would be my personal pick. But there would also be a few others. Like there's so many. If he was just going to book a deathmatch, there'd be so many others you could pick that would be unbelievable, you know, in like all the deathmatch legends that fly around Japan.
Let's do Despy versus Rina Yamashita.
That would be sick. That would be an absolutely also trained by Kasai. Would be an awesome pick. Drew Parker had retired but recently popped up in the UK. I don't know if he's doing death matches again or whatever, but him and Despy would be unbelievable in Corican Hall if he came back. That would be really cool. Violento Jack would be really cool. Yeah, there's just a list of dudes that he could make magic with.
And love it.
As a result, raise their stock as well, like he did for Kasai.
I love that. I love that there's like Despy is that bridge that, you know, to all the, and they did say that they want to raise up all those smaller promotions. So maybe there is something there for like a big Japan, you know, crossover.
Well, or something like that. So that. Like, you know who it could be? Hang on, I want to get his name right. Kasai has the most to do with Freedoms. And Freedoms Pro Wrestling, Great Air. I just don't want to say his name wrong. But their champion is this real young dude. I literally, when I first saw him, I think I saw one of his first death matches because he wasn't a scarred boy at that time. And now he heavily is. Oh, don't worry. It's Takeda again. Okay, so maybe it will be. Guess he fucking won it back since I got back to. No. Okay, so Takeda, if it was Freedoms, but if it was Big Japan, no. Hang on, fucking hell, Rafe. Jesus Christ, you'd think I've never watched this. I didn't go to Freedoms. I went to Big Japan. Fuck. Championships. It is Yuki Ishikawa is the current Big Japan Deathmatch Heavyweight Champion. Great looking boy, fucking cool as hell, now scarred to hell at a very young age, but he is a huge up-and-comer for them.
Did I ever show you that I have a sticker of Kasai and what's his name, Takeda?
No.
And the Deathmatch Heavyweight Championship. I've got a big sticker of that on my podcast station here.
Oh, that's sick. I got this when I was so I destroyed the podcast station. I got this cheer towel when I went to the Big Japan store of the Big Japan belt.
That's the Deathmatch Heavyweight Championship, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
that's a cool looking belt. That's a really
it's
cool
great, isn't belt. It? Yeah, it's one I of
think,
my favorites.
I think silver belts do it for me.
Yeah,
I really like
them to look like industrial and fucking brutal, you know. I think that's why I enjoyed the V4 as well for New Japan so much, because it was like this tarnished goldy bronze, like it looked beat up, it looked old, you know, it looked like it had status, which is what I enjoyed about it.
I've just sent you the sticker that I have.
Oh, that's great. Oh, there you go. That's literally, yeah, Kasai and Takeda. Yeah, that's cool.
I got it from a company called Package Pile Driver. They do shirts and stuff like that. I have one of it's got Rob Van Dam and the ECW World Television belt. Mm-hmm. I've got Takeda and Kasai with the Big Japan Deathmatch belt, and then I've got Austin with the Smoking Skull belt.
That's sick.
Bit like they're like postcard size stickers. They're fucking cool.
No, that's really cool. Now that's awesome. All right, and then so on from that, because no matches have been announced. We'll skip on to the next match here. Second match was Bushi and Takahashi.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. Isn't it?
Yeah. We're not talking about potential deathmatch cards
not,
for
this
death.
This is not the sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly right. Bushi and Takahashi, Hiromu versus Ghetto and David Finlay. Not a very long match here. Here for a fucking good time, not a long time. Bushi sorting out Ghetto. And apparently Bushi had picked up another big win sort of recently, so I guess they're heating him up for Best of the Super Juniors a little bit, right?
That is a fucking – it was a weird match. I was like, oh, okay, so David Finlay's just going to beat Bushi. No problem. Here we go. He's the heavyweight here and stuff like that.
Because it started with him just beating them both up, really. He was kind of throwing them around a little bit. He was like manhandling them and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, get it.
He must still be feeling – he's still feeling that cage match or something. Like he's just not 100% there yet. Cause he wasn't really a big factor in the match, was he? Like, I don't know. It seems like David Finlay is like kind of in a weird spot at the moment. Mm-hmm. Like we've got, we've got the rest of the War Dogs making noise. You've got, the War Pups are the current junior heavyweight champions, tag team champions. You've got Gabe Kidd, who we will get to very shortly. Mm-hmm. And then David Finlay in this like second from the bottom match. Like what the fuck? What's going on here? And against Hiromu and Bushi?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was weird. He has apparently been, he was apparently pretty sick. So maybe they're just easing him back in, you know?
That's what it seems like. Yeah, he's just not 100% there yet or something. Like, it's going to be a big year for David Finley. I'm pretty sure we're going to see him make a lot of noise in the G1, shit like that. But, like, yeah, man, that was fucking wild. I was not expecting the end of that match. I was not expecting, you know, Bushi to look like he's on a tear, you know, recently, especially with Hiromu in the match.
Yeah.
Fucking wild. I don't know. But yeah, quick match, did not hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah, not at all. It was, you know, a little bit of fun, showed everybody good to go. It was fine. All right, what was next? It was, okay, fourth match. Oh, that's right. This was actually super fun. It was, oh no, hang on, skipping too far. Let's not say super fun just yet, but it was... Just Five Guys, Doki, Uemura, and Sonata versus Kellen Newman, Great O'Khan, and Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Callum Newman, you know, continues to impress everybody. He's, you know, so super fast. And, you know, we got a Doki match. So let's fucking go.
That's a win. It's a win every time.
That's always a win every time. Jeff Cobb, you know, I'm going to take back all the things I was saying about him, you know, earlier in the year. You know, he doesn't look like he's trying, all these things like that. Yeah, maybe he's, you know, fully recommitted. Great O'Khan and, oh God, who was it? Yuya pins Great O'Khan and challenges for the KOPW. Mm-hmm. What kind of nonsense do you think they're going to dream up? Did you watch the rejuvenation?
I absolutely did not watch it. I thought about it, and then everything I heard about it was so absolutely bad, I just couldn't really bring myself to do it.
I didn't watch it because I didn't want to be jealous of the fact that they were eating hundreds of gyoza together. Which
I heard that after the fact. I wasn't in a hurry to watch them eat eel.
If I was in a match where I could eat just like a 100 veggie gyoza,
yeah,
I'd be fucking in. Let's go.
I mean, I could still go back and watch it, but I really don't think there's much to see there. Like, it was apparently pretty fucking bad on average.
They were hiding a bunch of Tongaloa's faults there. And I think if you have to hide his faults that bad, why put him in the fucking match?
Yeah, exactly right. So. Yeah, what are you doing? I don't know what they're doing. Anyway, I thought Jeff Cobb was quite good here, and I also enjoyed where he jumped on into commentary as well. I thought he was doing pretty good. Old Jeff?
Yeah, good old Jeff. He's pretty funny. Like, he's pretty quick on commentary, which is, you know, from someone who's, you know, such a big and, like, intimidating figure, you wouldn't think that he'd be such a silly kawaii guy. So it's fun to see him on social media and on commentary being that, you know, that dork.
I agree. I find him entertaining, though. I do think that hurts his booking, if it makes sense. I think if he was much more intimidating and serious in how he carried himself around, then they would maybe book him more that way, and then he would probably be doing more in the company. But it did kind of sound like, as he was talking and stuff and the things he was saying, it did sound like he's got, like, bigger plans with New Japan. Like, it didn't sound like he was on his way out the door, like everybody was sort of speculating for a bit there. So maybe we will see better things like that. And, like, the interactions he had with TJP and things like that, you know?
Do you think that the entirety of United Empire could kind of take a lesson from that, where you say, like, they need to carry themselves as a bit more intimidating, or as a bit, like, cooler and not such, like, goofy dorks and stuff like that, like, you know, likable guys? And I see, like, that when Maloney left the United Empire, he's like, I don't want to drink boba tea with these fucking assholes. I want to drink beer and kick asses. Yeah. And they want to go fucking to, you know, Super Mario World and get Luigi hats and shit. Like, do you think that maybe the entire faction could deal with, like, a badass makeover?
Not all of them need it, but I would say I think probably the ones that you're referring to are, like, Great O'Khan's been quite silly lately. Jeff kind of carries that. I don't think Henare needs it at all. I think he always carries himself pretty brutally, and fucking some of his injuries and shit lately, he's no joke. TJP's trying and can do that pretty easily. And Francesco sort of had that bit of a baby kind of vibe to him, but after that cage match, I think he came out the best from it, you know? So
yeah.
I think that with the KOPW stuff, if O'Khan started to take that in a little bit more serious direction, like, say, the likes of Tai Chi and Shingo did, and then you have Cobb, you know, ramping up the intensity and stuff a little bit, I don't think it takes too much to make them seem very dangerous, you know?
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I mean, those two are the ones who are the biggest goofballs, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh no, like, not at all. It's great, like, for the fans and for fun and things like that. I'm just saying that sometimes perception is 9/10 of what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Toriano is not going to be IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, you know, because he's a fucking goofball.
Yeah,
you know. The only time that he was taken seriously was when he was a fucking stone cold axe murderer. So you know, way back in the day. Mm-hmm. So your shenanigans can be cheeky and fun, but they're just going to be shenanigans forever. You know, you may not rise as far as you can.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Cobb could rise very far.
Absolutely. And the kind of the way he was talking, he's like, no belts are safe and blah, blah, blah. And things like that. You could easily slot him into like the leadership position of United Empire with the right angle and stuff. There was a time when he sort of first came sort of back and he was coming into the ring and not saying much and had all his hair down and stuff, and he's easily the most intimidating guy on the roster, you know?
Oh, yeah. When he first joined United Empire and then, that was fucking it. That Jeff Cobb could have fucking taken any of those belts for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. No. That's totally it. All right, then. Next up was the...
Oh, and we didn't even say Yuya Uemura challenging the Great O'Khan. I mean, it's good that they're doing something with Great O'Khan from here. Mm-hmm. Yuya Uemura, do you think he's going to take the blue belt?
I honestly have no idea, but I wouldn't be against it. I don't think it's really helping O'Khan at the moment. So, you know, if you were to shift it to him, he gets his first big win, and then put O'Khan in like a tag team situation with Cobb or something like that. That could be cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Okay. Next match.
Next match was our, it was the, my personal favorite, I think, of the night was the three-way IWGP junior tag. So Kevin Knight and Kushida, Drill Maloney and Clark Connors, and Akira and TJP in absolutely wild shit. I think it's worth noting first and foremost, like, Kevin Knight is a fucking freak, man.
He's a megastar. He's a megastar in the making, dude. Like, the fact that he came out like Doc Brown for Kushida's Marty made me very, very excited. But Kevin Knight is so good. I've said that dude could be a world heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. He's got great looks. He's great in the ring. He's got a charisma that's just so like otherworldly. Like, the dude's got tons of talent and a great, great personality to go with it. I think that he could be a lovely babyface champion down the road. And let's hope that he stays, because he might be more of a TNA product right now. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a thing, mm-hmm. but I would love to see him as a full-time New Japan talent.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure. Also, like, it's worth noting Driller and Clark in this match, just fucking absolute weapons. Clark Connors especially. Dude. Like, power slam through the ropes onto the apron, the fucking Jeep flip to the outside, like, just fucking madman.
Those two, like, when they first teamed up, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a really cool tag team. Like, no, they are fucking it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw a junior tag team where I was like, both these guys are fucking, I never want to see them not as a tag team.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's been junior tag teams where it's like, oh, Despy and Kanemaru, like, I could see Despy going solo and things like that. Or, you know, Roppongi 3K, like, everyone always like preferred one or the other. Like, I love both these guys so fucking much.
Yeah.
I want them to just be fucking, you know, bosses in this division forever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but then you could also easily see, like, put Driller with Gabe or on his own would be crazy. Like, either of them could definitely carry it, but I'm very happy with this run they're on at the moment, for sure. It's also worth noting as well, like, I mean, Catch 2-2 are always awesome, but I like the face paint thing he did and sort of like reeds hanging off him and stuff. It was like not full.
Yeah.
But like that's better, right? Like when it's subtle, that's way better. And I liked his attitude as well, like when he lost and Jeff's like, keep your head up. You want this shit, right? You want to be the best. Lead by example. Like he's like, I could be the leader, but this kid wants it. It's like, if you think you can do it, I don't think we need it, but show us. And I like that. It's not like he's instantly in charge.
It's a really weird position that you find the United Empire in right now because, like, I mean, O'Conn was, like, against it. He's like, we don't need another fucking leader.
Yeah.
And then he's like, if you want to be the leader, bring us fucking gold.
Yeah.
You know, bring gold or bring bodies, I guess. You know, and then, you know, TJP goes out there and fails. So, I mean, where are they going with his story? You know, are we going to see TJP, like, excel in the best of the super juniors, that sort of thing. So
I like that you don't just get to be like, I'm in charge and everybody's just like, yeah, and that's the story. I like the story is he's like, I really want to do this, but every other member's like, well, fucking prove it. Like, it's simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should be, right?
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest, that sort of thing. This is wrestling is a physically demanding sport. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you just say, oh yeah, sure. You know, all these dudes are alpha males. You know, all these dudes are people who want to excel through physical harm and violence.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why would they just roll over and let somebody else be like, no, I'm the leader.
Yeah, exactly. But we've grown up with like shoddy booking in like certain American companies and things like that. And if somebody gets removed, they just go, it's now him. And that's just it. You know what I mean? Like, and you go, oh, okay. It's like they just needed a new leader in that spot. They just pick somebody and then there you are. You know, so I like that it's like they have to work for it. So
it's definitely good.
Yeah.
It's definitely good. So I think, yeah, this could be a really big time for TJP heading into Best of Super Juniors. And what he's doing with the Aswang is it's pretty cool. Like at first I thought it was kind of hokey. No, well, the first time I saw it, I thought it was great. Then the second time when it showed up in the cage match, I thought it was a bit hokey. But now it's, you know, he's fully developing this character and it's turning out to be pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool. Absolutely.
And also Akira, I love that kid.
Yeah.
He's screaming in Italian and freaking out, I love him.
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody knows how big things are coming for Akira. After that, IWGP Tag Team Championship match, did not care.
Didn't watch it.
I was just like, let's get these back on Bishamon. This was just a quick detour while Goto was pissed about in the New Japan Cup. So I watched their intro, skipped to the end, fucking saw them holding the belts, moved on with my life. And it only went for about 13 minutes. So I think that's probably all we need to know.
Inoffensive.
I'm more interested in where it will go now as Bishamon continue this dominant run. Who will be the next challenger? We've got the GOD thing. We've already done that now. Like, what's next? And I think there's an opportunity there for a heavyweight tag team, like maybe a new one, like I'm saying. Actually, just fucking give me Hanare and fucking Cobb. Like, just give me that and fucking put them against Bishamon. That would be sick.
I hope Hanare is still with the company. Like, there was a very, like,
what do you mean?
Cryptic post on his social media of him, you know, like a goodbye Japan sort of post the other day. People seem to look at it sideways. So, like, I hope that he's still there, but...
Something weird would have had to happen. Like he's a lifer, man. Like I would be super surprised. But you never know. Things change. You know what I mean? But I would be super surprised.
I would think that with the return of Tamashii coming, I believe it's next month, that
we're gonna see
some cool shit coming for Hanare.
Exactly. And you know, he did get sidelined for a hot minute because, you know, his injuries and stuff, but I severely think we would see him coming back. So we'll have a look. I haven't read that post, so I don't understand the context, but I don't know. Every conversation I've ever had with him is he's there for life, you know. So we'll have to see. But things change. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody fucked him off, you know. Pissed him off and he decided to fucking leave. He's very passionate about like all his, you know, his home and about everything that's going on in New Zealand and his company there and things like that. And maybe if things really have not adding up and dollars and cents aren't happening and shit, maybe he's like, fuck it, I'm going back to New Zealand. I'm going to fucking make it happen there and, you know, who knows. Next up was another match, which I think we, despite what, you know, the criticisms I have had of Yo and things like that, I never want to see anybody injured like this. I was out drinking when you were like, poor fucking Yo. And I thought you were just meaning like he'd lost because I hadn't seen it. I'm like, fuck him, who cares? And you're like, okay, pretty brutal. And I was like, what? What's the issue? And then I watched the match and I'm like, oh, Yo, like I didn't mean it like that. Like,
yeah, the text message you sent me is like, I didn't see it before I said this. I'm so sorry.
But yeah, really, yeah,
I was like,
really rough. I fucking
really rough.
Hate to see it. I personally don't think he was going to win it anyway. I think
really?
they're still telling stuff with Sho, and I feel like those other two were way too ready to go, and I feel like Yo was going to lose, and then that whole bit was going to happen anyway. That's what I personally think. I mean, it could have been an audible, but I think Sho as a cowardly champion through Best of the Super Juniors is maybe more interesting because he can draw up more tragedy. It's like who's going to take it off him at the end, not like – who can have a beige match with Yo?
I don't know that there's beige matches with Yo anymore, dude. Like, the dude is off his fucking rocker.
Yeah, I don't find it interesting.
He is cuckoo banana pants crazy town.
Yeah. What did we just like, say did about Funisa? I don't care. I don't care. tell me, did I say which?
No, the thing is, like, Yo's always hurt, man. Yeah. Like, that's such a thing.
Yeah.
That's such a thing. He just came back like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. I know. I mean,
fucking sucks.
The problem is, right, like with the shoulder thing, it sucks. It's obviously not a career ender, but when that stuff starts to happen, that shoulder will just go again. You know what I mean? Like, that is an ongoing thing. That's when you see guys will have like the heavy shoulder strapping and things like that. Like, when we next see him, he'll probably have.
The
Chris Brooks, the Joel Bateman, the like those guys that like have to wear that thing. It's for that reason, you know. Like so, yeah. Anyway, I hope good things happen for him. I want him to be okay. And despite you know, if I'm not vibing on what's happening or whatever, it doesn't mean I don't want him to do well. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm much more interested in the Doki Fujita situation than I ever would be the Yo situation.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong when I say that, like, you know, I wanted it to be Yo's time. Like, I just thought that it kind of would be. I mean, it's a giant show.
We've kind of thought it was going to be his time a few times, though, and it still has not.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But, yeah, like, I mean, it's shows his huge rival, you know, they came up together. Like, that could have been his moment to really – finish the story,
yeah,
you know, with Sho.
I
don't know.
I also think as well that just with all the matches those two have, like despite knowing each other that well, I don't think they've ever had a good match together. I don't think they have good chemistry as opponents. And so
nothing that really blows your skirt up.
No, and like, so what, he gets his big moment at like Sakura Genesis against a guy that he doesn't really do good matches with? Like, I'd much rather, like, if they're going to do something with him, I'd really like to see it play out and him, you know, get that moment in an appropriate spot, I think. But, yeah, he's just, you know, it doesn't really land for me. But if you're enjoying it and people are enjoying it, enjoy the fuck out of it. Have fun with it. You know, there's plenty of silly stuff that I like. It just, I don't know. There's just something that doesn't hit for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the next match.
Mm-hmm. After that was the special tag match. It was Umino and Moxley versus Jack Perry and Ren Narita. Lots of brawling, lots of stuff going on. Climax of this was Shota sacrificing himself for Moxley and then allowing Moxley to get the win. How did you think about the chemistry here? What did you think about, you know, Jack Perry, the whole vibe?
I was really looking forward to this match until Shooter came out and looked like...
What's he done with his hair? Why has he done this? Like,
he looks like an absolute Karen. He looks like he wanted to speak to the manager of New Japan.
His gear's gotten worse. His hair's gotten worse. I'm like, he does not look cool at all at the moment. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
He looks like a fucking dork.
Yeah.
The Dax are fucking bad. That ring jacket is bad. Yeah. That haircut is awful. Bro, what are you doing?
What
and he came
are you
out
doing?
With Mox, who looks so fucking badass.
Yeah.
Like, they came out together and I was just like, I should get a Moxley shirt.
Because fucking Mox is wicked in fucking New Japan. Well, he's wicked everywhere, but he's wicked in New Japan. Imagine if they did it because it's, you know, we're fighting these guys we hate. It's a blood feud. My fucking second dad's here. What if he just came out in black jeans and a fucking cut-off shirt as well? You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like, I'm here with Moxley. We're here to fight. I'm not here to fucking...
He's got that black denim Death Rider jacket and shit.
He's never once worn the fucking thing. He always just carries it around. Wear the thing. Come out as like Death Rider Shota, you know what I mean? Shave your fucking head. I don't know what you need to do, but it's not it right now.
Not it.
Not it.
Not it.
Not it. Not
when Ren came out looking like Discount Undertaker, I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. Jack Perry came out with that giant
head,
like
the goat
mask.
Head is sick. Yeah.
That was it.
He's put together. He's put together. And Ren's on his way. He's figuring it out. I think Ren could go bigger with it. I think, like, if you saw Ren with, you know, a bit of a spiky shoulder pad vibe, a bit like Evil used to have with the fucking hood and a fucking cloak and looking like that kind of stuff, I think that could be it. Take it further.
Yeah, definitely.
He's not gone far enough.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Shooter's gone too far. Narita hasn't gone too far enough.
I the more I watch it, you know, yes, this match was the perfect House of Torture match for me.
Yeah.
No Evil.
Yeah.
No Pimp. Mm-hmm. No, like, none of the nonsense, mm-hmm. except for, like, they used weapons and things like that. Okay, that's fine. They were distracting the ref. That's fine. That's heel shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was two dudes who I fucking enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love Ren and I like Jack Perry a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, mm-hmm. I'm into that. I think as far as those two go, great House of Torture nonsense. Mm-hmm. So that was it for me. I really liked it. The only thing I couldn't do was I couldn't look at Shooter and be like, what? I can't make heads or tails of that.
Yeah. The choices. What are the choices that are happening here? Yeah. I don't understand it.
Who is doing this? Who is doing this to you? Who hurt you, Shooter?
Who is breaking into your room and cutting your hair while you sleep? I don't understand it.
Jesus, it's bad.
It's so bad. The pants as well, like going from like tights to these like flared, furry Mr. Tumnus pants. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. They used to be like the overpants. He's like, you know what? They're so hot. I'm just wearing them in the match now. I'm just wearing them all the time.
I don't get it. No one looked at him and was like, he looks cooler when he comes in with his big furry, you know, carpet pants.
No.
Like, no one said that.
No one's ever said that.
No one said that, bro.
Yeah. He's like, now you're going to see it when I enter during the match, in your dreams. It's happening all the time, 24/7. Get ready for it. I'd rather not.
He
never open
so
weight.
So much cooler when he had those fucking sweet pink and blue.
Yeah, like, he had the Tanahashi vibes boots. And the bigger hair and stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Never open weight. Shingo versus Evil. Shingo picking up that win's Last of the Dragon. There was a lot of shenanigans going on in this at one point, but they still went pretty hard, sort of right from the start, which I enjoyed, and I thought it was pretty good. What did you think?
Yeah, I dug it. Like the thing about this match is like, I know that my wife enjoys House of Torture shenaniganery like this. Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah, all the like referee and shirts and stuff are pretty dumb and then Bushi's there and Hiromu's there. And so and that's all fun. That's awesome.
That was, it was a good
Bushi's
time.
On the push, man. He was fucking stopping people, was kicking people's asses and stuff. Like you never see Bushi do anything.
Straight
that was good.
Yeah. Like it was a good time. I enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. Am I a House of Torture enjoyer?
I'm a House of Torture enjoyer.
I'm a House of Torture enjoyer.
Sometimes it's, you know, it's maybe a bit much or it's in the wrong place or it's just a bit repetitive and boring. But to be honest, lately, they've been pretty entertaining. And usually they build it up like this and then they fucking start their bullshit. But then then the whole faction's involved and there's all the bells and whistles and you have fun with it. And then in the end, they get fucking done and it's a good time.
Yeah, when it's done right, it's fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It's absolutely. Great. Absolutely. And so, you know, that's the thing, right? Like New Japan's a touring company and they do a lot of shows and I think sometimes it can be pretty hard for those guys to like do things differently or think outside the box every single time. So sometimes they just have to do the boring shit. Just stop the pin, fucking who cares? This is AMA in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, whereas when they're on and it's a bigger match like this, it can be pretty fun.
So do you think we're getting a new Never belt?
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah. Shingo requests belts and they appear. That's how the blue KOPW happened. Upgraded from the trophy.
That's a bad belt.
It's a terrible belt. So I'm a little bit worried about it. Awful. But yeah.
No, I think the fucking Never belt looks so fucking tough in black though.
Yeah. I was liking the black on black. I was like, let's do that. Like just
even
get it remade.
Did, like, black on black with like a dry brush of silver over. I'm talking about fucking nerd shit.
I know. We'll paint it but for like, them. Just send it to us. We'll do it. Get some chaos black on that bad boy and dry brush it with some fucking lead belcher and we'll be sweet.
Yeah, the fucking side plates falling off and shit like that. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be the hard dog belt. I fucking don't mind that. And that's a perfect segue. Supposed to be the fucking hard shit, right? Gabe Kidd obviously appears at the end of this match
in
the promo of the fucking night, if not the century, as he, I'm going to read the actual quote because essentially says, he goes, Nick Nemeth and Matt Riddle turn up and we all start wrestling like we're trying to get on Main Event or Superstars. Does the squiggle on the side of this ring say level up? He it doesn't say it in the quote, but he goes, am I a fucking dickhead? He's like, am I a fucking dickhead that I thought we were like wrestling in New Japan? He's like, they send Jungle Bitch here as punishment. This is New Japan pro wrestling. Tanahashi might as well walk. And he says it's a Tanahashi's face who's on commentary. Might as well walk into Tony Khan's office, pull down his trousers and say, do your worst. It's a fucking embarrassment. And he says, he then essentially says that he's coming for fucking the Never. He's coming for everything that New Japan has and everybody needs to get the fuck out of the way. He's shaved his head. He's looking like an absolute monster. He's fucking kicking the shit out of everybody. Like, yeah.
He's got a match coming against Eddie Kingston for the Strong title.
Yeah.
So maybe they merge the Strong title and the Never together.
Yes. Let's do that. Fucking, he's talking about a new belt for the Never. Let's fucking put him into one. Let's just do like a fucking Strong style belt.
Yes, abso-fucking-lutely. Did you catch the quote where he said that he's like, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill this guy. He goes, I'm going to stab fucking Tanahashi to remind him of his ex-girlfriend. I had my fucking hands covering my mouth. Like what is he saying? That was, I mean, you want to talk about a pipe bomb and some shit. That was fucking amazing.
Yeah. He goes, is this the company I lost my fucking mind for? He's like, is this the company I fucking almost killed myself for? Like, you know what I mean? There's like a lot of real shit there. Like, and
yeah.
And he fucking means it when he says it. And that's why I remember when he had that big text blow off, you know, when he really had that sort of like the hard times and stuff. And he went on this hell text tirade before he ended up having to fucking, you know, get on medication and shit. He said a line that I really fucking liked before I knew that he was really struggling. I just thought it was promo shit. But he said, I'm sick of motherfuckers like Daniel Garcia cosplaying as the wrestler that I actually am. That's what he said. He's like, all these motherfuckers over at AEW pretending to be what I am, pretending to be what I've worked for here. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm that motherfucker. Like, that was the shit he was saying by text and stuff. He was like filming videos. He was like on the, everybody's really worried about him. You know what I mean? And it was all real. But like, that's the feelings that he has inside himself. He's frustrated. He's worked so fucking hard for so long and he means it in every fucking syllable he says. And I really respect it. Like
he's got big, big feelings and he's going to take it out on everybody.
You know who fucking the last person I can think of that would look at the camera and say those fucking words and I felt it that way? It was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I could see that.
When he looked at that camera and he fucking said that shit at King of the Ring, when he said, if you put a fucking S in front of Hitman, that's what I think of Bret Hart. When he like, you know, was saying these things, he said them with such vitriol and such intensity into that camera that you couldn't help but go, this is my motherfucker now. Like I feel that.
Yeah.
And when Gabe looks at that camera, he believes it. Not many guys can deliver promos like that. They don't know how to channel that realness, you know. They don't know how to turn it real.
I think like there are people who do promos that are funny. There are people that do promos where it's like, oh, that's insulting. That's fun. Like Will's really good at coming with clapbacks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and Japanese promos are all basically the same.
Yeah.
But like, goddamn, dude, nobody can fucking channel rage like Gabe fucking Kidd.
Yeah, exactly.
Bless that man.
I'm trying to think of like the best New Japan promos. I mean, I think he really stands out as some of the best. Juice was on a tear for a time. Juice was really good when he was like really stunned when he was transitioning into that bit more serious thing, you know, when he like cut his hair and was doing the US stuff with Moxley. He was really delivering as well. But and then obviously
Jay
after Wrestle Kingdom and stuff like that was the fucking promo that stopped the world and nobody did anything with, you know, these guys like can channel that because they've lived it, you know. And so,
yeah, Gabe, when he came out, I was like, they might want to stop the show now. They might want to not even have this Naito Tsuji match because that was it.
That was
the
fucking
moment.
It was
close the show, shut it down.
I don't care about any belt, but this was how I felt. Yeah. I'm like, let's get this shit cooking. Let him cook.
Yeah,
let him cook.
Gabe, let him cook and eat.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah. I hope this is, you know, Shingo's held at me. I would love to see Gabe take a belt. That would be fucking sick.
If Gabe and Shingo go at each other fucking full speed, I'm in for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I'm in for it.
Absolutely.
Let's go. All right. Put it in the fucking copper box.
Yeah. Put it on Tamashii and I'll in Perth.
I say it every time.
I know. Speaking of fucking big titles and big exciting things, that leads us to the final match, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Yoda Tsuji versus Tetsuya Naito. I feel like this, though it kind of probably, with the Moxley match coming, we thought there's probably a pretty good chance that Naito's going to retain, but I think they did a great job making us feel like it could be Tsuji's world. And that was really fun. Like I watched the match, like he could still do this, you know, and had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I mean it is a fun match. You've got buckets of charisma from those two dudes.
Yeah, from both guys.
And there's a definite like love there, mm-hmm. but there's also this element of like Tsuji is still learning from Naito.
Yeah.
And Naito's got to like kind of put him back in his place and be like, you're not ready for this yet. I'm still dad around here.
He had that like, you know, that big brother power that you have over your siblings where it's like, no matter what really happens, like, you know, your younger brother can get fitter and he, you know, grows up a bit and things like that. At the end of the day, you're still the big brother and that power fucking overrides everything.
You're like, yeah.
Nothing could happen between us where I don't win this because neither of us can accept that it would be any other way. And that is, despite what, you know, Tsuji's saying, like, he even knows it. And I, you know, he's like, I could do it and blah, blah, blah. But really, there's a doubt there. And it was sick. And I enjoyed the respect at the end. And I liked at the end that Naito brought back the belt throw. He throws in the air and he looks at him and gets out. And it goes back to that old, you know, LIJ thing, that old Naito thing. It doesn't matter about the belt. I'm the fucking man. He's like, whether the belt means nothing because I am the champion. I am the best in this company.
It's not the belt. It's the championship title that goes along.
Exactly.
With the belt.
You have to beat me. This means fuck all until you can beat me is essentially what he's saying. And that disrespect of the title and shit is cool. And I would love for him to bring that back in a big way.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that's what made us all fall in love with Naito, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah. When Naito's like fucking full on dickhead. Like, and he doesn't even have to be a heel. Like, he just has to be cool. And like the I don't give a shit about any of this pageantry, any of this bullshit. Like, that Naito is cool. Mm-hmm. That Naito also wasn't the one that finished his story against Okada, though.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's not the one who finished the story with Sonata, though. I'm saying finished the story a lot. It's a couple days after WrestleMania and everybody's on Twitter saying it. Yeah. The thing is, like, the Naito that was able to go everything or nothing, mm-hmm. against Okada, the Naito that was able to finish the roll call at Wrestle Kingdom this year. That's a guy who respected the belt and things like that. So like, this does feel a little bit like a step back for his character, but it's also so fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so fucking cool.
It's cool. And you know what? Sometimes it's that, like when things were unsteady, you know, Kenny in the Bucks and everything leave and stuff like that. What did New Japan do? They're like, put the title on Okada, steady the ships. Let's fucking go. You know, let's return the status quo a bit. Let's have him roll through and then we'll do stuff. This feels a bit like that to me. Okada's fucking gone. Will's gone. Let's steady the ships a little bit. Everybody fucking loves Naito. They love him when he's being fucking disrespectful. So let's just lean into that a little bit more. You know what I mean? Lean into that. That's what everybody fucking loved about him in the first place anyway. And then let's play with the other pieces. And I think that works.
Yeah, when he came out to finally beat Okada, you know, he was wearing the white, you know, he had accepted his place with the Intercontinental belt. You know, he was wearing the white to show that he had finally overcome his fear of being just the white belt guy. You know, and he wasn't throwing those belts anymore.
Yeah.
Then now he's got this belt that he doesn't really love.
Yeah.
The world heavyweight belt. And maybe he needs to learn to love that belt too. And then we can get a new one.
Or maybe he could destroy it and they're like, well, we're just going to have to bring back the people.
God, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. All right.
It would be nice.
Well, speaking of nice things, let's tell all the nice people where to find our nice presences on social media.
Well, you can find me on social media at eldestructo83 on Instagram. You can find Rafe on Instagram and Twitter at facesfeelscast. You can find the show's Instagram and Twitter at Ichiban Sweet, because we are too sweet, the Ichiban Sweet Boys. Mm-hmm. You do it so much better than I do because my voice doesn't go that high without sounding terrible. I my voice cracks like I'm going through puberty.
Itchy man, sweet.
You can check out our sister shows, the Faces and Feels cast, Rafe's interview series where he talks to different independent wrestlers and gets to know a different side of them, something you wouldn't normally see in a quote-unquote kayfabe interview. You get to know the person behind the athlete. You can check out my sister show, the Throw and Dice podcast, where I talk about tabletop role playing, tabletop war gaming, and all the hobby within that hobby. You can check out our sister shows, Hot Friends, at the Count Out Podcasting Network. We are proud members of the Count Out Podcasting Network. We love those guys over there, Ryan, and all the hard work that he does to keep Count Out rolling, showing all sorts of beautiful content for you guys. And speaking of content, if you want more content from us and more content from the people at Countout, you can go to patreon.com/countoutpod, where for, you know, chuck in a buck, chuck in whatever money you want to, anything that you wouldn't miss if it fell out of your wallet while you're out boozing one night. And for that, you'll get our extra show, The Sweet Spot. You'll get extra shows from all of the other shows on the Countout Podcasting Network. I think there's a $5 tier and a $10 tier. To get everything?
I believe so.
Yeah. Or maybe it's 3 and 5. I don't remember. Go to patreon.com and find out.
They'll tell you. Yeah, exactly. If you can't find that, go to the Count Out Network and you will find all the bits and pieces you need to do.
Go to the Count Out Podcasting Network YouTube channel.
Yes.
Get views now, on the YouTube.
If you like to do the tube over the pods, you can do that and you'll find our episodes there as well. There is no footage, but you can still stream them all there with a nice logo picture. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks to Curtis for his time. This has been a little bit longer episode. We've been trying to do, you know, more short form, easy bite episodes, but we, you know, Sakura Genesis was a real good show. So we needed to break it down and that is no issue at all.
Sweet or sour?
Oh, sweet.
Sweet.
Sweet. Absolutely sweet. So, yeah, see, we pants shorts, we've bounced into sweet sour. Works perfectly. So, you know what we say? It's rate and subscribe, listen or die. It is, what is it? Fuck, I can't remember my own new saying. It's
style it strong.
Yeah, bring the fight. Style of strong, sweet cast, Ichiban.
Ichiban.
Itchy Barn Sweetcast. Itchy Barn. Itchy Barn Sweetcast. Thanks, Mochi.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Count Out Network.